The Mayo Football Podcast, the week that was, on patreon.com/Mayo Podcast. Welcome, listeners, and if you haven't yet signed up to Patreon to follow all the extensive coverage we have of Mayo Football throughout the summer, winter, and all in between, you really need to get that done now. John Gunnigan, how are you?
I'm good, Rob. I'm good. Absolutely baking here.
Yes.
Summer has arrived for sure. Though I think no more than the farmers, I think we could do with a slight dip in temperatures ahead of Sunday.
Sunday is Cork. As we record, the build-up is getting closer. Actually, there's a new podcast in the can that you can log on and get. The Mayo Cork preview is out there. But that's not our job here today, John. Our job today is to showcase what was on over the last, well, the 7-8 days or so previously, going back to the victory over Louth. God forbid we should call it that after the way it was received, but we did win, and Mayo are 4 points from four.
Indeed, yeah, we're kind of looking back to look forward, if you like, because the purpose of this pod is just to give people a taster of the extensive audio coverage that our club members on Patreon can enjoy on a constant basis. Now, we obviously didn't do one last week, and we had a very good reason for not doing that, because we wanted to highlight the Together for Jar campaign and the match that was played on Saturday, and we had a pod around that Mike had with special guests, which we'll come to in a bit. But we're back on with our highlights show this week, and we start at the Louth game, and I think we end at the Miners last Saturday.
We love a good podcast crossover. Loud and Proud are is the excellent home for all things audio around Loud GAA. Dan Bannon is the mastermind behind it. And I think a good place to start on our Loud review pod is Dan chatting to us after Loud's late surge. Almost got them at the very least a draw, but Mayo just about hung on. Maybe finishing this, Dan, so many counties, like we played Clare a few years ago, and honest to God, their fans bounced in thinking, we can beat you, and they're 6-1 up. Like, we go around to all these All-Irelands, and everyone does admire us and cheer us on, but no one treats us like they would treat Kerry. Like, you Loud fans probably go into the Kerry match going, oh God, I don't know what will happen. But they went in, yeah. I'd say they went into this match day going, Jesus, Mayo, we might be able to.
Well, I was trying to convince them that not to be undaunted. Like,
I don't think they were, because I think that's a natural. We go around the country and we meet fans of teams that are in lower divisions, and they always think they have a shot at us.
Well, you weren't ruthless. Like, we had a big turnover here. Tommy Dornan kicks the ball away, and you go up the field, and Brian hits it straight down. Like, Dublin take down goal chances. Yes. You know, they kill the game off. They don't let us score freeze. They don't let us have a foothold in the game. They figure us out.
There you have it, Dan. Just kind of laying it out from a different perspective. Always nice to get a different perspective.
Well, it is, yeah, and I thought you kind of posed the question nicely, Rob, because it is such a phenomenon that we do see year after year, as in, why does every county think they have a shot against us? And and I think Dan answered that quite well. You know, it says, yous aren't ruthless, you know, and that's kind of it, you know, and we certainly weren't ruthless enough that day in Castlebar, though we did win, as we keep trying to remind ourselves, you know, we did come in a point ahead, but it was an interesting point, all right. And also, I thought the way he said, you know, I said to him, you know, you'll give Kerry a right good rattle, and he said, yeah, but they've Clifford, you know, it's almost like they're beaten before they play, and they never are, they never would be against us. And I don't think they are against Kerry either, because I think Kerry are there to be got at. But no, interesting stuff, I thought, from Dan.
A little tangent. I mean, we have an objective here, is to get you some clips to highlight what we do. But just a brief tangent on this. Like, statistically, since 2011, the only team from way below us in the standings that have beaten us are Kildare. And I mean, my God, that we were set up for an ambush that day, and boy did they execute it brilliantly in an amazing game, and fair play to them. But like, that's it. I mean, I'm not going to put Roscommon in that bracket, because Roscommon are a rival in Connacht with a long history, so the fact that they've beaten us a couple of times shouldn't be looked at as some sort of massive upset, because it wasn't on both occasions. But at the same time, the rest of them, you know, they come close, they drag us to extra time, they score goals in last minutes, they make us sweat like no other serious contender for the All-Ireland has to sweat. But at the end of the day,
Yeah, and that's it, Rob. And Mick Foley on the Cork preview pod, which we're not going to go into in any detail now, but he made the very good point that we tend to play up in some circumstances, but we also tend to play down as well. And we've seen that repeatedly, particularly in the qualifiers, and we saw it, I would guess, against Louth as well, in that teams that we should be putting away comfortably, we don't put away comfortably. We might beat them, but we only beat them with the minimum to spare.
Right, the Loud review continued a couple of days after the game itself. Mike sat down with Billy Joe Patton and Stephen Drake, and in it they discussed one element that came up quite a bit before and after the game, and it's the state of the McHale Park pitch, which we hope from an inter-county perspective Mayo won't be looking at again in terms of interactions and games, because obviously if they overcome Cork, they'll go straight towards Crow Park. But it's still a big issue, hot topic, especially ahead of the club championship. Here are the lads.
I wanted to finish up, lads, chatting for a few minutes about the surface, the pitch, call it what you like. Now, I was at a county board meeting last week where two delegates, John Farrer from Garrymore and Willie McDonough from Westport, they were the only two delegates to ask a question about the pitch. And probably there was close on 50 delegates in the room, give or take. So I think that's important to state as well. But it was literally the talk of the country, certainly GA country, on Sunday. For anybody who watched the game on TV or was in Castlebar, it's not in good shape. Now, the county chairman, Seamus Toohey, did attempt to explain why it's not. And just before, I suppose, I get your thoughts, lads, on it, just to put it in context, on the back of being asked about what is the story with the pitch, he did explain that the decision to reopen it last April for the Mayo Galway game, that was one of the reasons why there's now an issue with the root development of the grass on the pitch. And again, if you extrapolate out, it's basically the pitch was reopened too soon. That's definitely one of the reasons. Another is that there were quite a number of club championship matches played on the surface last autumn and into the winter, particularly double headers, maybe two games on a Saturday, one or two on a Sunday, too much traffic. That exacerbated the problem with the root development and the grass. And then, of course, we had extreme weather as well. Really, really bad, heavy rain that fell in and around a lot of those club championship games. And it has all contributed to what we saw last Sunday. And on the back of that, at the moment, it's about a week or 10 days, I think, down the track, there is what was described as an ongoing maintenance program that has started. And I know liquid feed was put on the pitch a couple of times last week. That would obviously help the roots, but it would also have given what grass that is there quite a green hue, and everything else would have had a green hue as well. So that would have helped with the TV cameras and I think stopped it looking pretty much like Enniscrone, Drakey, to use your term. So Billy Joe, when you saw the pitch on Sunday, as a former Mayo footballer and as a current Mayo supporter, what did you think?
I was surprised, really, that it looked that bad, to tell you the truth, on the TV screens. I suppose I haven't been down there, you know, in a while. I suppose the only thing that's important now is that, you know, you can ask all the questions, and they're important to ask, and find out, well, why are you not getting the right correct value that you should for all the money that was spent on the pitch. And then it comes down to the question of appropriate management of the resource, because it's an absolute critical resource to Mayo GA in terms of providing a high quality surface for the inter-county team and all other inter-county teams, and indeed the latter stages of the club championships. You want them played on a surface that's worthy of it. So I think the only thing that's important now is that whatever is needed to happen, that it happens, in terms of the treatment management. If it means that the pitch has to take a break and you have to get experts in to treat it, if it means that you have to close it for a while, so be it. And the important thing then is that you learn from it, and that you understand what you need to do to manage the surface on a yearly basis, so that it's in the best possible condition for the biggest possible occasions.
Yeah, I thought it was interesting as well, Drakey, that Seamus Toohey made the point that some people would say we shouldn't have opened the pitch for the Mayo Galway game, but the pressure was on us. And I thought that line was telling. I mean, the county board were between a rock and a hard place. If McHale Park was not ready to host Mayo Galway, there was going to be a lot of questions asked. And then obviously they did sign off. They went with it. And then that, allied to a few other things, have left them with this situation.
Yeah. Look, Billy's right. I mean, we should, you know, we don't need to sort of dwell on it. But I would say to that, you know, if you come out with a concise, clear explanation at the particular time, then I don't think, you know, any pressure that's put on after that will be warranted. So, you know, if the county board came out to say, well, listen, you know, we would love to play the game against Galway here, but the advice we've been given is X. The pitch is not ready. Any game right now would be hugely detrimental to the development of the pitch long term. In all likelihood, will end up costing us additional money further down the tracks. And we simply cannot take that risk. I think if that was the explanation given at the time, nobody in their right mind who wanted to put pressure on thereafter would have had a leg to stand on. And I think this is the issue, Mike, you know, ultimately with a lot of this sort of stuff. We're sort of happy to blame other parties 18 months down the line for you know, them putting the Galway game on there when quite clearly they shouldn't have. There was a big hullabaloo about this at the time as well, you know, and I know the Mayo hurlers didn't get on the week after, and, you know, everyone was getting on about that, etc. Why are the footballers getting on the hurlers? But we were given no explanation in relation to that. There was no correspondence to say, this pitch isn't ready, it shouldn't be on, we shouldn't even have the Galway game on, etc. And I think if they came out with that pre-Galway and said that, I don't think anyone would have had any argument in relation to not playing the game against Galway. And here we are now, whatever, you know, period down the line. And again, this is costing us money. This is costing the county board money to rectify, you know, that mistake. And that, in essence, isn't good enough, you know, and that does need to, you know, be questioned and a little further examination. But, you know, Billy's right now. Whatever needs to be done from now on has to be done. But it shouldn't have happened in the first place. I think that's the big thing in relation to this.
John, like, let's hope we don't have to play a game on McHale Park from Mayo senior men's perspective again. But at the same time, yeah, it hasn't worked out very well.
Yeah, that's what I was thinking, Rob. You know, things don't go the right way on Sunday. We get a home preliminary quarter final. You know, we're back in the balding McHale Park the following Sunday or Saturday or Sunday. That's definitely not what we want. Yeah, I mean, I think the thing about the pitch is that hindsight is a great thing, but if we go back to last year and the huge pressure that was on to play the Galway game in McHale Park, I never understood it at the time because I never saw the advantage of our playing that game in McHale Park. We're far better off to go to Salt Hill and play it there because I think we'd have had a better chance there. It was rushed. The county board were under enormous pressure to have it ready. It clearly wasn't ready. Now, as to who made the decision, that's kind of by good. That's by the by at this stage. But the clear upshot of it all is that the pitch was used too much last year. And remedial work, you know, has to be done, and the right thing has to be done now. And it's important that the right thing is done now, and that the pitch does get to get sorted out, so that by next year we're not in this situation again. But I think the lads laid it out very well. Mike gave very, very good background to the facts of it and the debate at the county board. And I think, like, Billy Joe and Steve Drake were, you know, fairly phlegmatic about it in that. What's done is done. You know, we just have to do the right thing now. And I think that's a fair point to make.
Just two of the 50 odd delegates spoke on it at the county board meeting, as Mike highlighted. But you can rest assured, if you log on to Mayo Podcasts, patreon.com/Mayo Podcast, you can guarantee that any of these hot button issues, any of the issues that are really irritating and frustrating people involved in GA across the county, are going to be covered just like that. Anyway, moving on. Speaking of issues that go beyond the Mayo senior football team itself, and really important topics to highlight, a huge event in Claremorris last weekend. in aid of the Ger Brady Fund. In the build up to it, Mike Finnerty had the podcast with two men involved, Ger Brady Ballina, as opposed to the real Ger Brady, as he highlighted, joined him along with Pádraig Ring. And first of all, here's Pádraig Ring outlined to Mike the whole background behind the event.
We sat down in the early part of January of this year with members of the Brady and Bell family, and obviously the GA club here in town wanted to do something for Ger. So we sat down and we threw a few ideas out over the table about what we'd do to get the fundraising going. And I suppose the obvious thing was to have a match. Ger Brady is known throughout the county as a footballer, and the obvious thing to do would be to have a match. Now, I suppose before that, we kind of wanted to do something else as well. And we came up with the idea of climbing the Reek. So the Reek was done in April, and the idea then was to push the game out into the summer, when there'd be a lot of lads around, a lot of lads home, and that we could get as many as possible up to the pitch in the middle of June on a dry day, hopefully, and just have a game, get as many of your ex-teammates from Mayo and from NUIG in Galway and from Claremorris and his friends, and get them all together and just really show him what he means to us.
John, you were on picking out clips this week. You picked out another funny clip, didn't you? Here, you like this one.
Yeah. This is Mike, and he's talking about John Mahan's sartorial choices for the day. The weather was good for it. You know, I mean, if John was going to have the shorts on that day, you know, it certainly the weather gods were smiling on him. So I don't know. I haven't seen any photographs, so I don't know if he was in the famous shorts. But Mike was certainly hoping that he would be.
Look, it's a terrific idea, and I'm not one bit surprised to hear you got such a great response. Quite a few big hitters there, Ger, in the list you read out. But I have to be honest, and I'm biased here. John Mahan, if the game was on at 3 o'clock in the morning, I'd go to see John Mahan tog out one more time, because he's a particular favourite of mine, and he's such a legend. And I suppose the obvious question to ask is he going to be wearing the shorts from 96, 97? That's the question everyone wants answered.
We can absolutely confirm John is coming. The good weather the last couple of weeks has meant John has got a lot of quality time under the sun. And he's in good shape. The tan is up. It's looking good. He's hoping for another 24 hours of bright sunshine just to get it topped up. And those dark navy O'Neill or Elvery shorts from back in 96, he's going to get them out of the wardrobe, and he's going to be on the sideline. No, he's not able to play, but we want him on the sideline in the shorts, directing operations. Now, going to be a couple of chaps vying for the managerial bib. Like James is there, James Horn is going to be there, and Andy is going to be there, and John will be there, and Michael Moyles. There's a couple other lads who fancy as managers. Conor Moore is managing a club up the country. He's going to play. So yeah, look, it's great. They're all coming, and delighted to have them on board.
Well, massive crowd. They really feel it was a monstrous success, bringing so many of the people that have kind of wowed us and entertained us on the field for Mayo football over the years together for such a great cause. And again, I mean, these are things that are said after all these events, but it just underlines the community element of what this is all about when we love our football and love the GA.
Yeah, and it's such a pity that the minor match clashed with it. It's just one of these unavoidable things. Obviously, they had to, you know, the people behind the Together for Ger match had to put a stake in the ground weeks in advance, and they weren't to know that the minor quarterfinal would be on the same day. I actually saw David Heaney. I was stopped for petrol in Freeman's there, just at the N17 close to home, and he looked like a man who was heading to war, and he clearly was, because he was heading up the road to Claremorris. And I tell you what,
is he still as fit as ever?
David Heaney looks all right.
I'd believe say, it.
You know, I have heard, yes. Yeah, and I was looking at the team voting afterwards, you know, and I tell you, Andy Bourne looks like he could do a job for the lads down in Limerick. You know, I'd love to see that the socks are still pulled up all the way to the knees, you know. One of the very few players to do that, but certainly, I tell you, Andy looks like there's a bit left in the tank yet.
You were a busy man joining your crew, the minor crew up in Carrick and Shannon. Unfortunately, for the last time, Mayo beaten by Monaghan, John.
Yeah, it was. And you know, I think we got an inkling even before the game got underway at all, because Derry absolutely hosed Galway in the first game. Now, I shouldn't have had a full inkling of that because I had a very good plan for Saturday, which was to arrive early, to park at the ground, and then to stroll down at my leisure down to the Oarsman and have some fine grub for myself, and then come back and catch the end of the Derry Galway game. I parked up there. The rain was bloody hammering off the roof of the car. So I thought, I can't do it. I have to go in. So I had a bag of nuts and an apple, and I saw all of the Derry Galway game. And Jesus, Galway got an awful hiding in that. And I was kind of worried that's because you can't help yourself. You're always triangulating. No, if they're that good, well, in Monaghan, you know, only beaten by penalties, they're probably very good. But gee, when the Monaghan lads ran out of the pitch, they looked like a different age group. That looked like an under 20 team. And that was confirmed when our lads came on. And sadly, it was confirmed once the game got going, because Monaghan were no match for them.
The Final Whistle podcast is a concept we brought out when we launched the Patreon last year. And it is basically to bring you an instant podcast as quickly as possible within hours after the game. On that, straight away, Mike Finnerty caught up with the minor coverage regulars, John and Nigel Reap. And here was the way they started out, looking back at the defeat to Monaghan.
Monaghan 5 up at half time, they win by 7. Tell me, what were the key differences for you between this Monaghan team and this Mayo team? Where did they set about winning the game, and where did Mayo struggle to match them today?
Well, at times it looked like Mike Tyson was fighting Barry McGuigan, you know, like it was physicality, you know, like it's perplexing me, for want of a better word, where they can go to with physicality at 16 and 17 year olds. Like, it's not just physical sizes and height and everything else, you know. Whatever they've in the water up there, I wish they could come down and give it to a few of the cattle down in round the Knockmore village there, that we could put that kind of...
A few of them look like they were on the beef nuts, Nigel, all right.
Absolutely. But on a serious note, it's not just that, they can play football along with the physicality in it. But you know, the evening that was in it, physicality was a big part in it, because we've seen there in the first 20 minutes at least, we've seen it at half time actually, that any time the ball bounced, it wasn't going to come into you straight away. And Mayo didn't protect the ball as well. And when you don't protect the ball as well against a team that's going to hit you the way they hit you.
And there's some brilliant stuff in the chat. I will add to the fact that at the end of each of these campaigns, be it the under-20s, the minors, you'll get your experts, in Nigel's case, to just go through some of the players that he feels have really caught the eye, advanced over the course of the season. And these are the elements that, if you want these nuggets, and if you're, you know, thinking to the future of Mayo football, and you can't stop talking about Mayo football, sure, all the more reason why you should log on to patreon.com/Mayo podcast, because you're going to get that little list of the key men who stood out and who are going to possibly be popping up on club championship teams in a year maybe, and in terms of the under-20s down the line too, John.
Yeah, for sure. And I mean, Nigel was just such a fantastic contributor to the Final Whistle right through this campaign. He didn't miss a single game. I think I missed two of them, but Nigel was an ever-present and a voice of reason and a voice of insight all the way. And at the end, as you say, and you know, if you're a subscriber to it, you'll probably listen to the show already. But he goes through the panel and he's picking out the players to watch out for, and the players that we expect to see more of in the coming years. And he also talks about, you know, what happens with the group now and what happens in terms of the next steps up, because there's a lot of indecision now. There's a lot of uncertainty about what happens with the under 20 years. Are going to stay like that? Will it become under 19? What happens to under 17 and all that? So some really, really good insights there from Nigel, and as I said, it was really great to have him on right through the campaign on the Final Whistle.
And we like to deviate a little bit from the topic every so often, and sure, we had to deviate at the end of the minor podcast because Kilcommon were doing the business in Comortus. Let's have a listen to this first, and I'll get you to chime in. Here's Nigel Mike teeing him up about the success of Kilcommon Juniors in the Comortus up in Dunedin.
Just to finish up, Nigel, we couldn't let the occasion pass without congratulating you officially on Kilcommon's great win in the Comórtas Pell na Gaeltachta. And I was dying to ask you all week, I couldn't wait to bump into you. How many days did you knock out of the celebrations?
I didn't knock any.
You're joking me.
I didn't know. We went out on Monday night, all right, but I didn't wait out there because I had a bit of work to do on Tuesday morning. But now saying that, I had plenty of men out there that met up for it, and we picked up a few injuries that is not good, but that's for another day. And it's, you know, maybe a couple of long term injuries that's going to do us damage going forward in the championship. But I've been lucky enough to have been involved in that tournament a couple of times with Balmullet before. And I remember I was a manager of Balmullet when we played the Gaeltacht in the Tourmacadie, and it was a brilliant tournament, that particular tournament. I remember Gaeltacht above in Ballintubber, the Gaeltacht, and they walked it as an intermediate team that year, and down in Ballyvourney, down in Cork as well. But honestly, everybody that talks, so I spent a good bit of time in the company of my good friend Ian McAndrew from Balmullet, and he goes to every single one, and he tells me that tournament, the last day up in Niamhmurra, Kincashel, was as good a tournament that ever was. It was a brilliant win, and again, I'm going to put on neutral's hat here for a second. For a team like Kilcommon to go up there and to take on Donegal, two really good Donegal teams, you know, Niamhmurra and Gweedore, who were really after each other, to be honest with you. Yeah. All the talk was about a final set up between the two of them.
They just won the semi-final by a point, didn't they?
Yeah.
And Justin Healy got injured very early in the semi, didn't
Justin
he?
Justin Healy got injured the first ball in the semi-final. Yeah. You know, he looks to have done a bit of damage to himself and possibly out for a while. But we'll assess that going forward. But I tell you what I did. As all these, when you play a match Saturday, Sunday, Monday, what happens is you get leaders from places you never expect them. And what happens, guys come through. And again, you know, I won't say anything about the younger lads, the older lads, Brendan and Brendan Moran and the lads, they were absolutely outstanding. But a couple of the young lads have come into it, and legs are huge in that part of it. But delighted for Kilcommon. You know, like, I'm only out there a couple of months, and John Maloney, the manager, is out there. He's old school. He won't make any apologies for that. He is old school, and he demands levels and everything else. And for a team like, there's two lads flew in from Holland for it. One guy that lives and works and has a family in Manchester comes over and plays as well. One guy comes in from Scotland. We have another one from Cork. We have two in Kildare. We have, you know, all over the place. There is literally, when I'm out there training during the week, we've got 8 or 10. But it's a credit to these boys how much they wanted that. Now, I will say this, it is a hugely important tournament to them, you know, and a lot of people in Mayo wouldn't see that, but they've never won that All-Ireland. And when we sat down at the beginning of the year, it was pointed out to me immediately that this is a competition they wanted to win, you know. And obviously the Mayo Junior thing, you know, is later on. The divided season helps it. But what it means to a community, we just spoke about it there, what it means to a community, and to see the scenes on Monday night, to go back out to Kilcommon and to see the Irish people when they brought the cup across the bridge there in Ballycorrick, and the people from Kintain, you know, all those people.
That's great to highlight it. They had a great weekend representing the northwest of the county.
Yeah, and what a win, because, you know, they lost their main man, Justin Healy, to injury. As Nigel said, the first ball that was kicked in the semi-final, he got injured, and it's a serious injury as well. Like, he could be out for the summer. And when the cup was presented, you know, he's holding onto the cup in one hand and his other arm is in a crutch. So, yeah, it's amazing that they went on and win it, because, as Nigel was said, the two Donegal teams were primed to meet in the final. But a bit like Armagh in 2002, it wasn't to be, because Kilcommon took out one of them in the semi-final and took out the other one in the final. What a great win. And I think Nigel gets across the point really well about just how much this means to the Gaeltacht community in general, but Kilcommon and the Eris area in particular, and the emotion that was there when the cup was brought across the bridge at Ballycorrick. So a great occasion, a great win for Kilcommon, and regardless of what else they do this year, 2023 is going to be a year to remember for them.
One of the great bits of the Minor Final Whistle podcast throughout the 7 championship games, I think it was, we had 7 Final Whistle podcasts, is just listening to thoughts of Sean Dean, because he's a man who speaks and thinks about football in a deep and considered way, John. He's always great to listen to.
Defeat at this stage of the championship means the end of the road. How are you feeling? The game is over, maybe a half an hour.
Look, extremely disappointed, Mike, but also proud. So proud of the players that we got the opportunity to work with this year. We started off last October with 126 that came in for trials, and then down to the 34 men that's in the dressing room. And I've said all year how proud I am and we are as a management team of these young men. They're a credit to their clubs and their families, no question or doubt about it. And that pride hasn't changed in any way, shape or form. It's still there as far as I'm concerned. Mm-hmm. Today, we're beaten by a better team. Mm-hmm. We knew that Monaghan were physically bigger than us. Mm-hmm. And that's just the way it happens sometimes. And whatever chance we had, you know, try and avoid the tackle and move the ball at pace and play with a lot of width. But the conditions then, when it rains on the sod that's so hard, the inside ball to our forwards, probably not as good as we would like. But I can't blame the players for that either, in terms of obviously the way we play the game. The ball was skimming off the surface and gone, so it was difficult for the inside guys. We probably needed to put about maybe 10 metres less in the pass. But in saying that, I think when you lose and you're beaten by a better team on the day, you have to take it on the chin, and fair play to Monaghan. They deserved their victory today, and unfortunately it just wasn't to be for us. But in saying that, our physicality would improve. And that will happen over the next couple of years, and some guys do their growing earlier than others, and these guys are 16 and 17 years of age, so when you look at 19, 20, 21, it'll be a different ball game completely. And one thing that pleases me is the skill set and the attitude of the bunch of men that we have there, like, right? So when you look at their game awareness, their skill set, their attitude, and obviously a bit more physicality in terms of obviously what will happen over the next number of years, they'll be back. These young men will be back, and they'll you'll hear a lot more of the guys that played today.
Yeah, the voice of Sean Dean, desperately disappointed. I heard Colin Boyle as well on the most recent podcast we put out on Patreon, which is out in the last few hours as you and I are chatting here on this one. So if you want to hear that, that's the Mayo Cork preview show with Mick Foley representing Cork and Colin Boyle representing Mayo. Mike asked Colin at the end, actually, about the journey with the minors and being part of the selection committee. He's desperately disappointed, as they all are, that they're out. But there's an acknowledgement that just sometimes there's a better team on the other side of the pitch.
Yeah, and I think, in fairness, Sean was of the same view as well. He was very reflective, I thought, after the match. You know, still full of pride for his players because they've given so much this year. And, you know, back-to-back Connacht titles is not something to be sniffed at in this grade, and I think will help us going forward, you know. But no more than Nigel, I think Sean has been brilliant on the Final Whistle podcast every episode. He's been unfailingly polite. He's been really generous with his time. And I think, you know, listeners have got used to this, as to be hearing at length from the minor manager after all these games. So that's been really good. And obviously, you know, Mike, you know, he asked him the question that there's a vacancy there at under 20 level. And, you know, there is a possibility that the current minor manager could be the under 20 manager next year. Now, there's all the whole load of ifs and buts about that, because we don't know, as I said just a few minutes ago, don't know if we're going to have under 19 or under 20 or whatever. But certainly Sean is a man who you would feel has a lot more to give and a lot more ideas in terms of what he does with the groups of players that he's been involved in. And there've been two really good groups. It'd be really interesting to see what his next move is, and what happens with the players under his charge, if that's how it pans out.
John, you've got your tickets for the Gaelic grounds.
I do.
Obviously, we watched Limerick and Clare there last weekend. I mean, which end are the Mayo fans in? We're expecting 50,000 at this game as well.
Oh, sure. At least. And I hope that we sneak it the way Limerick did. Though I haven't spoken to the Clare relatives, but I think they were robbed. Though I do agree with Malachy Kirkin's analysis of it, that there's another shout left in Clare yet. You know.
Oh yeah.
I mean, I think in a way, had they won last Sunday, it might, even though it would have been, you know, a Munster title, and they wouldn't sniff it at a Munster title down in Clare, but at the same time, there's a higher prize on offer, and maybe one all going into an All Ireland, and I think it could well be the All-Ireland final, that's probably a better position to be in. And also a sense of injustice.
Ah, they should have got it free. We're going off on a tangent here. That's what we do on this podcast sometimes, but they should have got it free at the end. Enough of that. Gaelic Grounds, a venue that we were there in 2017. Things have changed, I think, around supporting Mayo in the years since. I put it to you that the intensity isn't there as much. I've been talking to you about this quite a lot as we travel around the country. Killarney, I'm loving the lack of chaos on the field, as you know, and the lack of chaos in the terraces. But I whatever happens the next day, I think people are both aware the Cork are going to land some blows and land some punches and ask some questions. But I don't think there's going to be the same sense of unease either. Maybe that's the format of the championship, but there's a lot at stake here. Mayo lose. They're going down a road that could just rule them out of an All-Ireland, realistically, in terms of the challenges, the extra game, the injuries. Yet, I don't know about you, John, but I have a lot of confidence that Mayo have learned a bit from the Louth game and they'll figure a way through this one, and that's all they have to do.
Yeah, and we are finally coming to the business end of the championship, if you like. I mean, this could all be over for us, Rob, in a week and a half. You know, it's that big now at this stage, and every slip is fatal after this Sunday. This Sunday is our last opportunity. Well, a slip up. Sunday's the day to do it, because we don't get another chance after that. But no, but seriously, I mean, I think it was covered pretty well in the preview pod, in that, you know, what's the choice for Mayo? Will Kevin McStay set it up? I think Mike asked this question really well. Like, will he set it up as this is like a Connacht final, and you win this, you're into the quarter final? Or is it just, next game, stick to the process, you know? And Colin Boyle didn't need to be asked twice about that as to which option he took. And I leave listeners to make up their own minds on that. But I think it's fairly easy as to which one he's going to go on there. It's a huge game. It is a huge game. This is a potential banana skin. Cork are one of those teams, and we spoke about this at the top, Rob. They're definitely one of those teams who will go into a game and think, we should be beating these guys. And they will have every expectation that they can do it. Now, the thing about Cork is they have the footballers. And I can't understand how they are punching as far below their weight as they have been for so long. But from our point of view, they are a dangerous team. You know, in 2014, 2017, they gave us a hell of a game both days. And I know that's all ancient history and different players and all the rest. But at the same time, they have the capabilities to make life very, very difficult for us. And I've no doubt that they'll do everything in their power to do that.
Yeah. At the same time, I think everyone across the board seems to be predicting a Mayo win, because ultimately Mayo are operating at the top end of Division 1, and Cork just couldn't get themselves even into contention from promotion when it all mattered.
Yeah, and as the lads were saying on the preview pod as well, that, you know, if you look at the bench, if you look at the options that we have, over 70, and it will be like 75, 76 minutes, probably on a hot day, you would have to think that we have the better resources to see it out. And particularly if Killian O'Connor is available, which it looks like he will be, you know, if he's in the 26, then we know he'll be coming on. And if Killian is coming on with 20, 25 minutes to go, we're in a happy place.
That would be fantastic. Let's hope so, and let's hope there's more good news on the horizon, because Mike mentioned in the preview pod some of the other players who are emerging from injury. You know where to find all that news: patreon.com/Mayo Podcast. What is Patreon? Well, it's an app on your phone. Download it and search for the Mayo Podcast. That's the way you sign up. €5 per month plus VAT gets you all of these podcasts covering the ladies, minors, under 20s, and of course the Mayo seniors. And let's not even get started at our in-depth coverage of the club championship once that kicks into gear after the senior footballers are out of the championship. Let's hope that's much later than we had last year. And that's the dream. For now, as John says, though, the jeopardy is just around the corner. Final round coming up this week. Right, John, you're all set for the Gaelic Grounds. On the road again.
All set, yeah, on the road on Sunday. I think that's Sunday's going to be an up and down on the one day jobby, I think. But yeah, no, looking forward to it. I mean, it's funny, actually, Limerick isn't a place that holds horrors for us anymore. You know, I know 2014, all that. But we have won three times at that venue since then. And the last time was really memorable. That was the night. Do you remember we were sitting with Jim Zaldi? Do you remember a good friend of the podcast?
Up the back, yeah.
And we had a perfect view of that absolutely stunning goal from James Carr. And that was a very, very happy night to dump Galway out of the championship. First time we'd done that in a long time. So we have happy memories of Limerick. And we're hoping to build on those the next day as well.
Kevin Walsh is on the sideline. That day he's on the sideline for Cork now. Mm. And he had such happy memories against Mayo up until that point. So let's see where it goes this weekend. There's all sorts of backstories. We'll cover it all angles. Final Whistle podcast coming out on Sunday evening. There's another podcast coming up this week with a very special guest. Follow our Twitter feeds and our social media to find out more on that. But in the meantime, you know what to do. Sign up. And if you have signed up already, tell your friends. And thanks a million for supporting us as you do. John, thank you. We'll talk at the weekend.
I'll see you in Limerick, Rob.